As we prepare our hearts to worship this morning, hear these words from Micah 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come into this place this morning to worship you. And we join the prophet Micah in asking, what should we bring? What should we bring to our King to worship you well? And at the end of it, you ask that we would have hearts like yours. Hearts for justice and hearts for kindness and hearts that are humble. And so the best we know how, in this very moment, we give you our hearts. We ask that you might fill them in this place. Each of them has needs that you know about. That you fill them with your joy and your peace and your hope and your love. And we ask, O God, that you would be so pleased with the offering of our hearts to you. Because that's the best way we know to give you our lives. And you, O God, are worthy of all that we have to give. And so we give this next hour to you, O God. Would you be mighty in this place? And would you lift everyone who is here? Lift them up in those places they need lifting. And send us out just a little while from now to be your light in this community and in this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're starting in verse 46. This is Mary's song. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Do you pray with me? Lord Jesus, now as we turn to your word, we continue to ask you, O Lord, how we can best prepare our hearts and our homes to receive you this Christmas, this day, and every day. And so we turn to your word, seeking wisdom from your heart to our hearts, your voice to our ears. We need to hear from you, O God. We want to hear from you, O God. For we're your children, and we love you. And so would your spirit move freely in this place? Would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do as we prepare our hearts for you, Jesus, our King. We ask all this in your most holy, worthy name, Jesus. Amen. The last baby that you bought a gift for, who was it? And what did you get him? Hey, Gabriel, me too. She was one of my last two. My last two babies that I bought gifts for, I had to think back, both little girls. One was Shiloh, Samantha Calkins' little girl that should be coming in the next few weeks. And before that, it was that one you're hearing right now. That was Marlo back in April. And I think that I got both of them the same thing. It's kind of my go-to baby gift. And it's those little nursing pillows, you know. They're like semicircles. I don't really know what, maybe that's what they're called. What? Yes. No, that's the little chair they sit in, right? Okay. So, yeah, that. I got that because it just seems practical. And I think if I was a mom, it would be nice to, you know, not have to have your arms up like this all the time. I like the idea of it. And I can never get out of the baby aisle without grabbing some onesies. Because there's just something about little miniature clothes, you know, that is just totally irresistible. Like, how can you not buy a little miniature flowery dress? It's just so cute. And so I always get the little pillow thing, and I always get some onesies. What's your go-to gift when you're celebrating a baby? That I hear that's a good one. Diapers, they need a lot of them. If that video would have worked, they talked about how many a baby goes through in a day. It's crazy. Cake, you would. That's more for you than the baby. And for the parents in the room, what is something that somebody gave you for your baby that you never even touched? Totally unusable. Anything? Diaper genie? I don't even know what that is, but I probably wouldn't use it either. Anything else? Or something that you parents realize now is super important that most people don't think of, that is something that you just get for new parents because you know it matters. Anything? Crib sheets, I like it. Y'all don't give a whole lot of wisdom back around here. It's kind of a one-sided relationship, I feel. But if you think of things, let me know because I'm going to need more ideas. Now you all know my go-to gift, so it doesn't feel quite as personal. Have you ever thought about what you might bring to a baby shower for Jesus? I mean, he's fully human, of course. And so those go-to things would be fine. Diapers, bottles, blankets, onesies. Mary, I'm sure, would have been a fan of my little nursing pillow. She probably thought, wow, who would have thought of that? These are all really good gifts. But what if we try to move beyond the basic necessities? And we dare to ask what this coming baby king might actually deep in his heart want. Not just what he needs, but what he might want from us. Jesus is coming. A baby is coming. A king is coming. The question this last Sunday of Advent is, what should we get him? What kind of gift should we shower him with? Lots of people think that they know just what Jesus wants. Don't go to church. They're just going to ask for what? Your money. That's what some people say. Is it true? If they think that about the church, which is really just where the people who love Jesus gather together to worship him, if they think that about us, then does that mean they also think that about him? Don't come to Jesus. He's just going to ask for your money. Is that what he wants most of all? Our money as our gift to him? What do you think? Wait, we're not there yet. Man, spoiler alert. Maybe it's not the money. Maybe what he wants is our very best behavior. For Jesus' shower, maybe he just wants us to act right for a few minutes. Sometimes in this place, little kids go rushing through the hall into the foyer, and they go blowing by me, and I hear some adult voice from like way down the hallway yelling at them, kids, don't run in God's house. I mean, I get it, respect for this place, reverence, and just the practicality of it. There's a lot of people here, and some of you aren't as steady on your feet, and kids running around sure to break something or someone before too long. But don't run. Don't yell. Don't put your feet on the pews. This is God's house. Speaks another word too, doesn't it? Says something like, kids, when you come to hang out with God, you better act right. Because God wants your best behavior or nothing at all. And sometimes when we've gone off and done something bad, even our grown-up selves, gone and spent too much money on ourselves, or gone and told a lie, or gone and hurt someone, or blew up on someone, or watched something that we shouldn't have watched, rather than turn and run right to God to be swept up in those arms of love and of grace, there's something inside of us that says, hide, avoid God. Stay away from worship for a while. You have no idea. Often I hear people say, sorry, you haven't seen me in a month. I've just been going through some stuff. So I'm working on myself before I come to God with it. Why do we do that? I have to go work on my own stuff. Where does that come from? Somewhere along the way, it seems we learned that God doesn't like it when we run in his house. He wants us on our best behavior or nothing at all. And so maybe that's what we bring to Jesus' manger. Our yes ma'ams and our no sirs. And our pleases and our thank yous and our Sunday best. Here, Jesus, for you I will act right. Is that what he wants most of all? Good behavior? Act right kind of people. Maybe it's not the money. Maybe it's not the good behavior. Maybe what Jesus wants most of all is for us to suffer. You're like, well, that's kind of dark. But some of us believe it. For us to suffer so we get a chance to show him just how committed we are to him. Sounds crazy, but we all know folks who think it. You've seen documentaries or the news. You've heard of those people that they call flagellants. Now, this is the extreme example. Those who, like, beat themselves and drag these heavy crosses for miles and miles. Also, they can try to experience Jesus' pain with him. We see that, and we're like, oh, that's kind of weird, but it's very committed. We think it's extreme. But I remember, as a little kid, I was scared to death to tell God that I would follow him anywhere he wanted to take me, because I was certain that the second I spoke those words, God would tell me, well, good, I'm glad you finally said it, because I've got this little hut for you in northern Africa, in the middle of the desert, where you're going to have to go to the bathroom in a hole that you dig yourself to live in for the rest of your life. Thanks for saying you'll follow me. We have this idea that he's just waiting to tell us the worst possible news for our lives if we let him. I had this idea, if you tell God that he's got all of you, he's going to see to it that you get the worst possible lot in life that there is. That you suffer. Where did that come from? Any of us had similar thoughts, or was that just my weird 10-year-old self? Thanks, Kara. At least I'm not the only weird one in here. But the odds are, if we're honest, that all of us have had those kind of thoughts. Because if we hadn't ever had those thoughts, then we wouldn't be holding anything back from God at all. Why don't we just give him everything if we don't think he's just ready to make us suffer a little bit? When we hold anything back from him, it's because deep down, we really just don't quite believe that he is just good. And that he only wants good for us. Does this baby Jesus want our suffering most of all? That we scoot on our knees over rocks and thorns to get to his manger? That we come with bloody flesh and broken hearts? Is that what's going to bless his heart most of all? Suffering in his name? I mean, for sure this might happen along the course of our lives being fully in his hands. We follow a Savior who went to a cross. It could happen. But is that the ultimate item on Jesus' baby registry list? Your suffering. Bring it to me. I hope not. Because that shower doesn't sound like very much fun. I'd rather play the little diaper game with the candy bars in it. Maybe what Jesus wants most of all is none of these things. Maybe it's our religious rituals. And every Sunday, there's a big check by it because we made it to church on those days. And there's two checks for when we even got to go to Sunday school. And then midweek, there's a little star for some Bible study. Double asterisks for getting out the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we are eager to show him that week that we remembered him, that we did all these things to serve him. We've highlighted for sure our tithe. I want to make sure that Jesus sees that we gave the full 10%, maybe even more. We've written over in the notes the songs that we sang to him, the prayers that we prayed to him, the hours that we read our Bibles. And this is all good stuff that we've done to please him. and this baby. He's going to see our calendar, maybe. He's going to see it all starred and checked and highlighted and noted. And we think he's going to smile so big because we're nailing it. This church stuff, this service stuff, this following God formula stuff, we're hitting a 4.0. And these are good things. I mean, I promote them every week. It's what I give my life to. These are marks of discipleship for sure. True growing in Christ, if they're coming from the right place, they're coming from the right motives. But are our religious rituals what Jesus wants most of all? More than anything else, that he just wants you to go to church this morning? No matter how else you carry about your day, your heart, does he just want you in a pew at church? Is that what he wants? If we're only going to bring one gift to his shower, is our religious action, is that what he's hoping for? Because the truth is, that's the one I think that I'm most tempted to offer. Jesus, here's my list of things that I've done for you, that I'm doing for you, that I'm doing in your name. So Jesus, take note and be pleased and just say job well done so I know I'm doing it right. I offer my rituals, I offer my routines, I offer my set times of worship, but I fear that even in all that, so often I stop short of giving Jesus what he actually really wants most of all. Our money? Probably not. I mean, he's God of the universe. Does he need my 10%? One sit, does he need it? Our best behavior? That's not it either. Our suffering? What good father can't wait to just see his child suffer a little? Not that. Our religious rituals? They don't seem to impress him as much as we'd like. So what is it? What does Jesus want us to bring to his shower, to his manger, to his throne? What gift is worthy of giving this Messiah, our Savior, our King? Some of those very first gifts that he received seem to answer our question just a little bit. What were those? There's several. When they first heard the baby was coming, the angels, they brought with them the gift of an announcement. Messages from God about God. Gabriel to Mary and Joseph says a baby is coming and he's going to be your Savior. And the host of angels to the shepherds, glory be to God in the highest heaven. A baby is coming. Sing praise, everyone. Sing praise. A baby is coming. Rejoice. You see, the angels' announcement, it was a gift of passion. They were excited about what their God was excited about, the thrill of hope. They let their angel hearts be thrilled too. Their announcements, they were gifts of passion for this baby king. Joseph, hearing that his fiancée was pregnant and that the baby wasn't his, he had a choice to make. Could save his reputation. He could hold on to the future that he had already planned for himself. He could look out for number one, that was him. Or he could accept all the questions and demotions and the stares and the ridicule that was going to come if he chose to marry Mary and take this baby in as his very own. He knew that he was entering into messy territory. And yet he heard the angels say, Joseph, fear not. Mary's baby is from the Holy Spirit. He will save his people from their sins. Don't be afraid to raise him, Joseph. And knowing good and well that hardly anyone would believe that he had actually heard from an angel, Joseph still made this hard choice to obey what God had spoken to him. He dared to trust that God was actually up to something around him, in him, through him. Joseph's gift, when he heard that a baby was coming, it was the gift of simple trust. Trusting the God who had sent that baby. Trusting. That was Joseph's gift for Jesus. Zechariah, the baby's second cousin or something like that, I don't know. That part of the family tree always totally confuses me. So Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. And so Jesus and John the Baptist are second cousins, right? So what does that make Zechariah? His cousin's dad. I don't know. Like uncle once removed or something? I don't know. Okay, but it doesn't really matter. It's just some complicated Jewish thing, and you're not helping me with any answer today, so I wouldn't expect that one either. But that's beside the point of who he was. The fact is, he was a relative. He was related, and he hears that a baby is coming. And at first, it's the news of his very own baby, that John is coming. And he's coming to prepare the way, the angel says, of the Lord. So a baby is coming to you, Zechariah, and he's coming to prepare the way for another baby that's coming, a king. Zechariah's gift, but his coming babies, it was actually one that was kind of forced on him. But his gift was silence for 9 months, like he couldn't speak at all. In those 9 months of silence, all he could do was ponder, reflect, remember what the angel had said. Wonder what it could possibly mean. Pray that he would be faithful to help his boy prepare the way for the baby king. Zechariah's gift for the baby, it was the gift of his full attention. No distractions for 9 months. Just listening, pondering, wondering. For 9 months, those babies were coming. And they got Zechariah's full attention. Mary, when the angel Gabriel comes to this young teenager and tells her that her entire life is going a different way and she's going to be the mother of the Messiah and her life is now going to be dictated by what God wants and when God wants it and how God wants it, her response, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to God's word." Mary's gift for the baby, his own mother's gift for him, it was the gift of this resounding yes. Yes. Yes, my child, from now on, whatever you need from me, yes, yes. Mary's gift was just the gift of yes to Jesus the King. After the angel leaves her, Mary breaks into song. That's what we heard earlier. She begins to thank God for all of these marvelous things that her boy is going to do. She names all the ways that he's going to save us all. Her gift for the baby that's coming, the gift of a song, a lullaby. It's not your typical lullaby. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him. He's shown strength with His arm. He's scattered the proud. He's brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. He filled the hungry and sent the rich away with nothing." A little more to this lullaby than, "Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's going to buy you a mockingbird." Right? It's a song of toppling empires and upside down kingdoms. It's a song of worship. It's a song of honor. It's a song of belief. Mary gave her baby the gift of a song. And all those shepherds, when they heard that a baby was coming, they dropped everything. Their obligations, their livelihoods, their calendars. Luke 2, verse 16 says, "They went in haste until they found that child laying in a manger." Their gifts to the baby king, they just put him above everything else. They made that baby their priority, getting to see him, getting to touch him. Nothing was going to keep them from him. The very first gifts that were given to this baby that was coming, the gifts of passion, the gift of trust, the gift of attention, the gift of the open-ended yes to whatever this baby might want or need, the gift of a song, the gift of priority. All these things you see, as different as they may be, they're really all just one gift. All these things, when they come down to it, what they are is they're gifts of the heart. Our passions, they flow from our hearts, not from our heads. Our passions flow from our hearts. Our trust, that is our heart taking the lead over our critical thinking and our fears and saying, I'll lead the way. Trust is a gift of the heart. Our attention, that's our heart slowing down and being still. Our yes, that is hearts wide open. Our very best songs, they flow from the deepest places of our hearts. Our priorities, it's all about what our hearts value the most. You see, all the gifts that blessed this new baby that was coming were all gifts of the heart. This baby that came. This king that comes and is coming again. What he wants most this Christmas and this day, it's just this. He wants our hearts. This Christmas, a baby is coming. What should we get him? What does he want most? Your money? Your good behavior? Your suffering? Your rituals? No, 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 no. What he wants most this Christmas and every Christmas, this year and every year, this moment and every moment is just our hearts. Just give him your heart. Okay, that sounds good. But how do I know if that's what I'm doing? I think I want to give him my heart. How do I do that? How do I know if I've done that? What's your greatest passion? If it's Jesus more than football or a work promotion or even your favorite hobby, if it's Jesus more than those things, he's got your heart. How do we know if we're giving our heart to Jesus? Do you trust him? Do you trust him enough to follow him when his leading doesn't align with your life plans at all? If so, he's got your heart. Does he get your attention? Do you just sit with him often and listen to him and reflect on all the things that he's up to? That's your heart, hanging out with Jesus and his heart. Do you eagerly say yes when he calls you to join him in something exciting or something scary or something new? That yes is a gift of the heart. Do you sing to him from somewhere deep in here? That is a gift of the heart. Is he first? The number one priority in your life. Everything else comes after that. That's your heart. Choosing him above anything else. All he wants is your heart. The money, the behavior, the worship, it's going to flow from this one gift. And if it's not flowing from the heart, he doesn't really want it. A gift of the heart. A baby is coming. And we're all invited to shower him with our best gifts. When you pull up his registry, you're only going to find one thing on it. Your heart. That's all he wants. Is that what he's going to get this Christmas? It's all he wants. Is that what he's going to get? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, here's my heart. Here's our hearts. The best we know how, we give them to you. We love you, and we want to love you more. We love you because you first loved us. When we are so unworthy of being loved, you loved us anyway because you just can't help yourself because you are love. And having received such incredible love from your heart, would you grow in our hearts a love for you that gives back to you all of us and then some? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.